from the River Thames to Silicon Valley, all across this vast wasteland known as Gitmo Nation. Coming to you once again from the United Kingdom in Guildford, where it's a beautiful 30 degrees centigrade, first beautiful day we've had in weeks. I'm Adam Curry.
I'm John C. Dvorak here in northern Silicon Valley, also known as Gitmo West. Or is it east? Are we west or east from you? I don't know.
It depends on which way I'm looking.
You go the other way.
Yeah, true. Let's just call it Gitmo West, and I'll be Gitmo East.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Hey, John, how you doing? How's the weather over there? It's been so nice here today. I'm hoping you got something.
We had a boiling midweek, and then the fog rolled in, and now right now it's completely overcast with our marine layers. So I don't know. Sometimes the classic pattern is it'll burn off by about noon or so, but this looks like it's going to be just a cold day.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Well, wasn't it really hot earlier the week? I mean, like smoldering hot?
Yeah, it was boiling. It was like hitting 90.
Yeah, I heard you complaining about that on Tech 5.
Yeah, well, you could hear the sweat coming off the microphone.
Yeah. Speaking of that, man, I hope you got a lot of the emails I got about you and your pistachio nuts from last week.
I got one, but I didn't have any. So I don't know what that was. I wasn't eating anything.
I didn't notice it.
At the beginning of the show, I was finishing a sandwich or something, and then, but I didn't eat throughout the show. The guy's crazy. I don't eat pistachio nuts.
But it was a couple of... Wait a minute, there's something really... Is maybe, oh, I see my numlock is on. That'll do it. Fuck, I hate that. I must have gotten 10 emails from people saying, hey, man, like, do they not have your email address? Is it so hard to find out how to email you? They're always emailing me with this.
I got an email. That's all I need.
One, but I got 10.
I don't need to be hounded like you do.
thank you. I've had a really long, interesting week. If you're interested.
Oh, well, now we have the number of topics to discuss. The only one I have to discuss is why I don't think Obama's electable, because I mentioned it to my Twitter army. But obviously we have more interesting things to talk about.
Well, there's a lot to talk about. The one thing I wanted to say is, there's this flu going around the UK, and it's in on the continent as well. And it's like a 48-hour, it hits you in the stomach, and then it, makes you sweat, and you get a fever, and then it goes to your back and your legs, and then it almost...
Oh, the old stomach flu, we used to call that here.
Yeah, exactly. Stomach flu, that's it.
That's what we call it.
Yeah, but it's not one of those long, drawn-out ones, it's like really intense.
No, stomach flu's always fast.
Yeah. So I had it on Tuesday, and then Patricia and Christina both had it on Thursday. Luckily, so I kind of hobbled along because Wednesday she celebrated her 18th birthday, which was an absolute blast. We had a great fucking time.
Your wife?
Yes, indeed. No, Christina, of course. And we...
Well, congratulate her.
Yes, I shall. And she, a good friend of ours owns this, it's probably the largest nightclub complex in Surrey, the whole county, but it's in Guildford. And so he has, he has a nightclub, then he's got, separate, like 3,000 person nightclub, then he's got a pole dancing.
Monster?
No, he's got a pole dancing place as one part, and then this other one, Bar Mambo, and so we were allowed to use all of Bar Mambo with staff, with bouncers, mind you. There's nothing like, it's so cool when you do a birthday party. And so everyone has to have,
And you can work over your guests.
Yes, exactly. It was amazing. It was so much fun because like 150, 200 kids. I mean, this is a big deal. But what's cool about these British kids, John, it was an 80s party. So it was supposed to be 80s clothing. And a lot of them came in.
What is 80s clothing?
Well, I'll tell you. This is the choices they made. Like Breakfast Club. Remember the movie?
Yeah.
So kind of like the linen suits. But a lot of them had, it's interesting to see what the Brits then, portray as, okay, this is real 80s Americana. And it was all like geeky stuff. So a lot of them had, big horn rim glasses on and pocket protectors and suspenders.
All this stuff from the 50s.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think it was on Vogue a while in the 80s. And a lot of them had, like a
Olivia. Yeah, it was on Vogue as a retro 50s.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, yeah. History repeats. A lot of them had like Olivia Newton-John, Let's Get Physical type outfits. It was really funny.
And 70s.
That was N70s, true. But that was kind of the gamut that they came
because there, the 80s have no theme, and so everyone just was a mess.
Well,
okay.
Shoulder pads and big hair. A lot of people had that as well. But also, you know, we had a band and they played a whole range of 80s. And when you listen to that, you know, that also was quite diverse. I mean, you may think it was all kind of the same, but really, you know, from Michael Jackson to the Eurythmics to you know, some of the 80 hair bands, there was a lot of different music in the 80s. Honestly, there's a lot of this people joking about the 80s. And I think it's that's not fair. The 80s was pretty cool.
Well, they were definitely cool for you, but I don't see the 80s as a distinctive decade that has a lot of style.
Maybe that's the point, is that it was a weird decade, but it was musically, there was a big shift, a big change that went from this 70s disco. You know, we passed through kind of the punk phase. And then, you know, we moved, you know, for me, it was kind of like Duran Duran, a lot of the English, you know, Depeche Mode. So we kind of had that. And then that
right,
got very
highly, techno stuff.
And then, yeah, and then
techno,
that got highly, highly commercialized. But a lot of what happened in the 80s was really the development of the skills of using computers to create music. I mean, that's really what the 80s was, I think.
And, yeah, I'm not going to argue that. It just seems to me that of all the decades, if you wanted to have a retro party, you know, I'd do the 20s or the 30s or not the 40s so much, the 50s for sure.
Well, John,
the 70s has a possibility. You got
sure.
the hippie thing. It'd be more
well,
interesting
John,
to have
John,
the peace science.
John, when you celebrate your 18th birthday, I'll let you choose the theme. Don't worry. We'll get a 20s band in for you.
That's not like I'm critical here. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I don't see I don't see it being interesting. But the bar must have been cool.
The bar was cool, and so, you know, we carded everyone. So if they were 18 or over, then they were allowed to drink. And of course, it was a free bar, so that made for some. I think we had our first puker around 9:45.
God, free booze! Yay!
Yeah. it was not a Sodom and Gomorrah. It was, and all these British kids, it amazes me, because we would just, you know, we hung out until, you know, around 11.
What was the bar tab?
Oh, please. I don't even want to go there.
Come on.
No. By the way, it was a gift from Mr. Harper, because that way we circumvented any issues of legality. So I didn't pay for it at all. There you go.
Wow.
What was I going to say? I don't know.
I think that one stumped you.
Yeah, so my daughter now feels that she's legal. She went straight out the next day and got a tattoo. She says, my first legal tattoo, Dad. I'm like, oh, God.
She's going to be covered from head to foot just like Amy Winehouse.
Well, it's what the kids are doing, man. I mean, it's not just the kids, the whole world. And, the, you know, people have been putting tattoos on their body for thousands of years. So
I don't see you all covered.
I'm not a fan. Not a fan.
I always tell my kids, I say, look, tattoos are one thing, but here's the way I see it. It's like buying a sweater and then having to wear it for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Do you have that much confidence in your sense of style?
John, I've done the speech. I wrote the book. I directed the movie.
And she went out and got a tattoo.
No, this is not her first. This is her third.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, she's going to be covered from head to foot.
Yep. Yeah. She got a... what is it, a G cleft, you know, musical note?
Yeah.
On her ankle.
Oh,
she
bad.
She got it with a little heart next to it. She said, oh, I got this for my grandfather, who was a musician. She said, so I'll always be reminded of him. Ah, way to tug at the heartstrings.
Yeah, well, wait until she has the big giant thing on her biceps.
Okay, can't wait. Another experience on its way. Film at 11. Tell me, we got lots of stuff to talk about, man, but definitely lay into the unelectability of Obama.
Well, there's a couple of things, but before we do that, let's use it as a teaser, since we really want to hear about your visit.
With the Pleiadian.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I have stuff to tell. Now, back to Obama.
Come on, let's do this first.
No, let's tease it. Come on, man. There's plenty. Now we have to talk about Obama. We got to talk about, we got to talk about the possibility of having an actual MILF in the White House.
A VP ILF, they call her.
We have to call her VILF.
No, they have the website, VPILF.com already.
Oh, okay. Well, I just think VILF is better.
So, well, awesome. I don't know. I mean, I actually predicted that it was going to be her some months back.
Really? Oh, good.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if it was on this show or someplace else, but two or three people were trying to track it down so I can, like, gloat about it. But in the hindsight, I think Romney would have been a better choice.
Let's just say for the audience who doesn't know, we're talking about Sarah Palin, who is John.
Right, or as she's otherwise known as Tina Fey.
That's it, man. And you know what? It's like, I can just imagine her taking those glasses off and then pulling that hair loose and shaking it.
Yeah. Well, my wife doesn't like her right off the bat, but then I realized my wife doesn't like Tina Fey either. Yeah. So I think it's a look.
I saw you blog that, Sarah Palin, Tina Fey. I saw that. Separated
at
birth.
I found out that Jon Stewart did it, and then he actually did it with two other additional ones. He said, first he showed her as, you know, Tina Fey, then I forgot who, some other actress who she also looks like. And then the kicker, which of course would be the result of professional writers, the kicker was, and she also looks like every other sexy librarian on Cinemax after midnight.
Exactly. I love it. I love it. I mean, I was just like, you know, there's little you could have amazed me with to make this show really interesting. This show that is the U.S. elections, and this did it. I'm like, you've got me back in. I'm watching again. This is cool. This is absolutely cool.
Well, what I thought was interesting is the fact, and I think the thing that's going to, you know, if Obama manages to win, which I still don't think he can do it, but it's the fact that the Democrats, who pride themselves as being the intellectuals, the college educated, the this and the that, are essentially voting for an out and out performer. I mean, if it was Britney Spears, apparently they would be voting for her, because that's essentially what we're dealing with here. Yeah, he is a performer. I mean, he's a great performer. Who else would pack a stadium filled with 85,000 people except a performer?
I mean, there are, I was watching some of the
By the way, I think they could have charged $10 a head and still packed the
easily. And you know, there were close-ups of just people crying like they used to for Michael Jackson, which, by the way, was, you know, the same type of orchestration. It's exactly the same. It's just like looking at the choreography of a Michael Jackson appearance.
Right.
It's orchestrated that way. I mean, it's done professionally. This is, you know, it's probably the greatest show on earth, really, when you think about it.
Well, I mean, essentially they use Britney Spears' set designer to do the set, mm-hmm. which I thought was going to be hokey, but looking at it, it actually worked very well. I didn't think it was as crazy as it sounded at the beginning. It looked good. It was essentially the Lincoln Memorial done in a sort of symbolic way. He came out and gave a knockout speech, very well paced.
He had great rhythm, because I was really paying attention to that. He was right. You know, it was good rhythm. It was really into the vibe, totally.
The content was no different than a Kennedy speech of, you know, a Ted Kennedy speech in the 1980. I mean, it just seems to me there's no new content. I mean, you know, there's a lot of generalities about how we got to get back to work. We have to do this. We have to do that.
Of course,
and we need to cut taxes for the middle class. But it was just the performance aspect. It was fascinating to me because, in fact, you know, I don't, you know, whatever they want to say, Obama has he's just basically a freshman senator. Has been in office for 2 years. Before that, he was a community organizer and a state senator, even though they compare him to Lincoln. You know, this still doesn't come up to par.
You know, I got to tell you, I saw Fox News do that, and they had Obama, then they had Lincoln, then they had Kennedy. I'm like, ooh. You know, you'd somehow, it just wasn't the right sequence of pictures. I'm serious. I immediately went, oh man, that's kind of weird. And then, you know, why the comparison to Lincoln? Because of the state, the home state?
No. There's the home state, A, and the fact that Lincoln was, although he has probably twice the experience as Obama, he didn't have as much, you know, and they're trying to make the Lincoln connection because nobody can deny it, because you can say anything you want, who's going to know? It's like, a, you know, 100.
It's a good story. We haven't used any Lincoln iconography in a while.
140 years old iconography. Yeah. But, you know, and the thing that gets me is that, you know, and I hate, you know, people go, you just hate Obama. But, you know, I don't know that he's ever had a job.
Worse, excuse me, John, we've actually been accused of being racist, okay?
I don't know that he's ever been in the union. I don't think he's ever been in a union. So, I mean, how's he, you know, so. I don't know who he's representing. But whatever the case is, he's a great performer. And people, these Democrats who are so deep, you know, are all, you know, basically buying into a facade. So it's like, fine with me. Yeah. But I think, here's where I think he's not electable. And I think it might actually be a good thing for the country if he was elected. So let me get that straight. Because it would break a lot, change a lot of things. It'd be an interesting thing to go through. But I think he's not elected because the Democrats themselves, I think, are indeed racists. Because they're the ones that seem to be preoccupied with it.
Yep,
and they're the ones who hold the majority. There's more Democrats. The Democrats could elect any president that comes, anybody that comes along for their party. Because they actually own the numbers. There's more of them. You know, if they actually got the vote out, if they really liked their own candidates, they could elect anybody. So that's a given, just based on the stats.
Right.
Now, the fact of the matter is, I think it's the Democrats who are racist, and I think at the end of the day, they're not going to vote him in because he's black. I'm just totally convinced of it. And I think there's also going to be hit hard by the Republican, you know, the Republicans have been holding back on really blasting him because they still think they, you know, can coast to victory. And, you know, they may be wrong.
It was pretty spectacular. I thought the suspension of the rules and the acceptance by ascension. What is that? What do they call it? Not as acclamation. Ascension. Same thing.
Now that's an interesting Freudian slip,
huh? Yeah, that's very Freudian. I thought that was a masterful stroke. I thought that was just so, you know.
It was more show business.
That's what I'm talking about. I loved it. You know, we yield. Boom, she's walking in. She's at the mic. She's doing her thing. The shot wasn't perfect because there was a pole right in front of her head that was casting a shadow. And I would have moved the cameraman a little bit to the right. But otherwise, it was masterful. Absolutely masterful. And, you know, whatever, you know, the Clintons are so smart, man. They're so ready for 2012 or...
Well, I'm hoping that, you know, whatever happens in this election, you have two possibilities for 2012. One, Palin, who's going to get beaten up anyway, will have much more experience. Although, I am getting a little... I've only heard her a couple times, and I think P.W. Fenton said it best, because there's a thing going on Twitter right now called Little Known Facts.
Uh-huh.
And you can actually look it up on a search. Little known facts about Sarah Palin. And they've just kind of deteriorated. But in the early days of this, or the early days,
early hours,
yesterday morning, in the early days of this little gag, there were some hilarious lines. And P.W. Fenton's was the little known fact about Sarah Palin. Her voice can cut glass.
You know what? She reminds me of Fargo. You know the movie?
Yeah. You're talking about the cop with that screechy voice?
Yeah. What's her name?
Yeah, I don't know her name. I can't think of it.
The actress who's married to the Coen brother, who Coen brothers made the movie. She told it's in Minnesota. Wasn't that Minnesota? Minnesota?
Yeah, it's in Minnesota. She's got a little bit of a twang.
Yeah, but you know what? I just can't help myself. When I see her, have you seen the footage of her with like the semi-automatic rifle?
Yeah.
Oh, she's that's so hot, man. They're hitting all of the buttons. It's like, ding, ding, ding. Dude, go Google chicks in bikinis with automatic weapons. There are thousands of websites. This is a huge demographic they're tapping into.
Well, that's an interesting point. Now, one of the things I've been doing during the election is the...
by the way, Bubba,
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's another assertion of mine. I think the first woman president is going to be a Republican. And I think the first black president is going to be a Republican.
Yeah. Whoa.
Anyway, so here's one of the things I've been following because my son, who's going to an extremely liberal school, and he's I would say typical college,
chicken commie school,
college contest, but he's a fan of Karl Rove. So I've been following Karl Rove. Karl Rove is now a correspondent on Fox.
That's like hanging a poster of Goebbels above your bed.
So Karl Rove is on Fox, and he's giving analysis, and I'm thinking, these guys were, I have to give Fox credit, because I still think their production values, and they have a lot of problems, but they picked a home run hitter with this guy, because he just comes in like a surgeon, and he just dissects things, and he does it unemotionally.
Yeah, he's Goebbels, man, he's awesome, from a professional standpoint, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so his thinking was the following, and this was before Sarah was picked. He says that the three elements of the Republicans right now, what they have to tap into, the three demos that they have to grab, because everything else is a given. You're going to get so many Democrats just going to vote for the Democrat. You're going to get so many Republicans just going to vote the Republican, no matter who it is.
Right.
And then you have the entire black population that's basically going to vote for the black man. So you have those things. Those are all fixed. So the rest of it is the variable in between.
Don't be so sure about the black vote, by the way. I wouldn't be that confident.
Right now, it's 94-1, all the polls say.
Okay.
Yeah, I know it's possible a few guys will bail at the end, but who knows? I think they're going to vote in droves. It's a bad matter of making sure that they actually come out. But let's just assume that, because that's what Rove does.
Mm-hmm.
And he says there's the three variables that you have to attack to get into to get into office, and you need two out of the three. And he named the three. He says one is the evangelicals, and he said this before Palin. He says it's probably going to be a split. He's not going to get them. He says the other ones are veterans. He says the veterans are going to vote for McCain no matter what, the veterans.
Right.
And then he said the third group is the small business owners, which includes a lot of women. In fact, more women start small businesses.
Probably more women than men, yeah.
And he says that group is afraid of the Democrats in general, and no matter what.
Because of taxes.
Mm-hmm. So they're freaked out. So he says he's probably got most of them, and he says the only one that's out are the evangelicals. So if Palin pulls them in, despite the fact that there's a lot of, you know, Republicans that don't like, she's according to some people, she's an extremely Christian evangelical type. Who, you know,
oh,
even
that's
had,
even better. I'm going to break her spirit and make her my bitch. Oh, sorry.
This may actually close the deal, even though everybody sees it as a huge blunder. Now, Rove could be wrong.
Wow.
A, but B, I don't know that he's ever been wrong. So he's the master. But I've been listening to him take apart all the speeches and all the other stuff, and it's actually interesting because he does it without. You can just tell this guy, and he'll refer to different experts that I guess are his friends that are all around the country. They're different professors. They study different kinds of stats, and he's had a guy in Wisconsin and knows one specific thing, and, you know, he talks to him, and he says this, and he uses that in his analysis. I'm telling you, this guy, I mean, if this guy wants to just give up as being a consultant, just to be if they would use him more as a commentator,
although
he's a little dull. I mean, he's not, like, exciting.
Well, we just got to give him some platform shoes. We got to give him a little bit of hair. We got to give him some better clothes, maybe some snazzy specs, you know, and he has to have, he's got a little vibe going on. He's too bland, and his head's not big enough for television.
His head's pretty big. He is a little bland, but, you know, and I doubt if they could ever afford him, but anyway, that's what his thinking is, and so that would, you know, say just picking her means they won, by his theory.
Right.
But obviously, they're going to have to keep doing something. And that, meanwhile, I heard Obama, while he's picking Palin, Obama's in Beaver, Pennsylvania, which is kind of humorous.
There's a joke there.
And they kept cutting to it on the Larry King show, because Larry King has been having some interesting guests on, too. And so they keep cutting to Obama live in Beaver, and he's talking to this crowd.
Let's go get some more Beaver shots.
He's talking to this crowd, and essentially everything he said were exactly what he said in the speech, word for word, right. Memorized.
Yeah, he's a
speech.
Robot. Yeah, he's a robot.
But he did do it without the teleprompter. He actually probably came close to memorizing that speech.
Well, I'm going
to
say, you know, at a certain point, when you do this long enough, you're going to know your lines. I mean, come on.
Well, he knows them.
Yeah.
The thing is, I think the kiss of death for either one of these two guys, even though, like I said, I still don't think Obama's electable because of the inherent racism within the Democratic Party. I think that it's going to be this is going to be the first election for years where the debates are actually going to make a huge difference.
Yeah.
I mean, they made a something of a difference in the gore thing, especially when gore came out. Well, it kind of made it to look like a woman, but...
It's going to make a huge difference in the ratings. I agree. We're going to have a banner year on television with the elections. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, so you can't fault him for, he's a performer, but he packs him in. In fact, it looks like the Democrat, that speech had something like 35 or 38 million people watch it. It was one of the most
huge
events in the history of television. Yeah. I mean, this guy is like, he's a celebrity.
Yeah.
I mean, just what the McCain people accuse him of.
But that's not bad. I mean, that's what we had with JFK.
Nothing like this.
Well, we didn't have that type of coverage, and everything's so rampant now. But yeah, I mean, what I find interesting is that you say he'll be better for the country.
No, I said it would be good for the country because it would get a bunch of things off the table. First, it would get whether the Democrats could do crap no matter who's running it, running the show. Because I don't, by the way, never think of Bill Clinton as a Democrat. he's a neoliberal from, with almost a Republican perspective and implemented a lot of Republican programs. So we haven't had a Democrat the way I see it, since Jimmy Carter. So this guy would probably, because this guy's from the Ted Kennedy school. So he's like, more of a real Democrat. And it would get the black thing out of the way. And it would probably improve the way blacks perceive of their exit strategies in terms of going into, instead of all wanting to become basketball players, let's say, or whatever, they could, they could think in different terms. They could think more broadly.
Well, I will say that, we should learn from the past 8 years and see that, the true man behind the curtain in the Bush administration, of course, has been Dick Cheney. So in this case, I think we need to keep our eye very sharply focused on Joe Biden.
Or somebody. Joe Biden, I think, is a dubious choice by this guy because, he keeps running for president.
Yeah, but Biden's John. He's in that whole Georgia game. He was the first guy who said, let's give Georgia $1 billion. Let's go get the Ruskies. This guy's a troublemaker. He's in on the big game.
I don't think anybody likes him because, I think there's cohorts do, but the public doesn't because they keep rejecting him, in a big way when he runs for president. So, he's not going to be the best choice, but I have to say he's got an attractive family.
Now, that does count.
Well, it does to some people. Meanwhile, of course, again, I'm looking at the shallowness of the whole thing. When you think of the Democrats, at least I would go back and start looking at, their candidates such as Adlai Stevenson. When I was a little kid, my dad says, he was a hard, Democrat. He says, Adlai Stevenson would probably be the greatest president ever, but they're not going to elect him because the public sees him as an egghead.
Yeah.
Which was a term used derisively after World War II to excoriate anyone who is an intellectual.
Egghead, right.
Anyway, that's kind of my thoughts on the thing. It's still got 2 months to go. Anything can happen. Something could blow up.
Someone could blow up.
I think they got that pretty well covered, but you never know. But
I sure hope so.
Yeah, I think they do. And but you never know. You never know. You just don't know what's going on.
It's
you never know, especially since I'm now reading Legacy of the Ashes.
Well, for you folks who don't live in the United States and are looking at this from the outside in and saying, "Wow, that's just an amazing show." Well, we succeeded because that's really all that it is. It's just a big, amazing show. And true to our roots, I think we pulled off a great one. I'd like to know who the producer and director was of
it'll come out
of the stadium.
Unless
speech.
It's like Wag the Dog where they're going to shoot him.
Who knows? But there was a concert, a Rage Against the Machine concert in town at the same time. Man, I mean, if just looking at the alternative media for a moment, are you familiar with Rage Against the Machine?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, the very anti-war lyrics, just sheer anger. And there were just tons and tons of servicemen and women who went to that show. And, they stood outside the convention center and presented, triangular folded flags representing their dead buddies. They said, please have a representative come outside. We want to make sure you understand what's really going on in Iraq and Afghanistan. you know, some really emotional stuff. Not, you know, not this like this. What were those idiots who I saw on Fox recreate 68? Did you hear that?
Oh yeah, they put them on. They were all over the town. And they showed on the Jon Stewart show showed the area that's around the. Well, actually, no, it was better. It was actually Bill Maher had some guy do a video who went around to look at all these kind of behind the scenes kind of sleazeball deals going on. Yeah, and they showed the free speech zone, which they have. I mean, the Democrats are no better than the Republicans.
The free speech zone with the chain link fence.
Well, that was where they were going to arrest people, but the free speech zone that the guy showed, which I've never seen, by the way, reported on by anyone.
No, of course not.
Is an area with nobody in it, literally, except a couple of kids who had some BMX bikes because they had a ramp there, so they were playing on it.
On the half pipe.
And so it was like, it was just unbelievable. I mean, if anyone can catch the real Bill Maher show this week.
That's funny.
You'll see this report. The rest of it is just Bill Maher and his normal, you know, he hates Republicans
or
rants.
Just one last thing on this. A trend I picked up on that I think Fox News started with, and maybe I'm just seeing it for the first time, but now I'm seeing CNN do it, and I saw the BBC do it. During all of these speeches, particularly, of course, the Clinton speeches and Obama speech, they have body language analysts. Have you seen this?
No.
And they freeze frame and they go through everything and say, okay, Hillary's lips were a little bit, here's what she does. She purses her lips. She swallows. That's saying, okay, I'm dealing with the situation. And he went through this whole,
I'd love to have seen that.
Oh, but it's everywhere. John Fox is doing it. O'Reilly has someone come on all the time now.
Well, I was watching O'Reilly, but, you know, I was flipping around a lot again, you know, looking for Karl Rove.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. And then, you know, the BBC.
Well, they also have that guy who's the consultant who puts everybody on lie detectors, and then he gauges when they watch stuff what's working and what's not, which is, I find, fascinating.
I think you take all these candidates and you put them on Jerry Springer show, right, to tell the truth. Let them play that.
Yeah, well, that was...
That's what America really wants. I mean, honestly.
Well, it's getting there.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, you still
these two candidates are just, I can't, you know, it's just ridiculous. But, well, the other thing, by the way, I should mention is that the Democrats also have a problem, I think. Because, you know, again, we're talking about the party of the intellectuals, the college educated. They have to deal with themselves being ageists. To an extreme.
Totally, I agree.
It's all they do is harp on his age. He's going to die. He's old.
Yeah.
And by the way, Reagan's second term, he was older.
Thanks. My friend John Dvorak's going to be that age in just 10 years from now. I mean, fuck you all. Come on. And we'll still be doing this show.
Or more, yeah. But we'll be doing it on a. I'll be doing the show with a walker.
Yeah.
So
no problem.
Anyway,
I'll change your dirty diapers.
Then they have to do a thing with the sexism thing, which they've already been excoriated for because they were sexist with Hillary. The media was.
Hell yeah.
And so we got a party, this intellectual party that's politically correct about everything, and they have to force themselves to be ageist and sexist, and they have to live with themselves with this hypocrisy, which is, I think, you know, going to eat away at them. I think it's going to be a tough thing for them to do for their own psyche to deal with.
Just for the record, John, you're neither a registered Democrat or Republican, nor am I.
No, I was a Democrat. I was raised a Democrat, became a Republican, and then I gave up on them for obvious reasons. And I'm an independent.
Yeah, me
and
too.
I would vote for either. I would vote for the best candidate. I'm almost tempted to vote third party this election because I don't like either one of these groups.
Yeah.
I don't think McCain's going to do the job. I don't think it makes any difference based on my own 80 year depression cycle anyway, because I think it's going to be, you know, collapse, and these guys are going to be screwed. Rambling around.
But by the way, I did want to say, I thought Dennis Kucinich's speech was outstanding. I love that guy. He's awesome.
Is hilarious.
But he was great, and he was jumping up and down, wake up America, wake up America. And I was like, yeah, brother, say it. And, you know, and he laid it out there. Of course, you know, I saw all the news bites, and like, hey, look at this motherfucker, he's crazy. And all the shows, the jumping up and down, right? And totally out of context. Yeah.
Of course.
But
I thought the best speaker I saw was actually another black man.
Who was that?
I believe he's the governor of Massachusetts or someplace.
I mean, I didn't see all of it, obviously. It was on TV.
They didn't. I have to, you know, I should know who he is.
Yeah.
But he was, I'll look him up. But he was amazing. He was not the orator, but he had, I thought his points were better. He had a really good organizational structure, and I thought this guy, you know, and they never gave him any highlight reel or anything. Yeah, I mean, he was just basically went on. I was watching the direct feed, which they have on the Dish Network, which is the feed without all these guys talking over everybody else.
Yeah, so you get the clean feed, right?
The clean feed.
Yeah, BBC Parliament had that over here. Instead of the Parliament channel, the BBC was running the clean feed over here as well.
Were they?
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Go ahead, finish your thought.
It's the guy's name's Deval Patrick, and he's the governor of Massachusetts. He was absolutely an outstanding speaker that is got to be a future star for the party, and they just, I guess he's not, you know, within the right camp or whatever, because they essentially, he was not highlighted by anybody. He was given a bad time slot.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they wanted a second black man to upstage the number one guy.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
I could, it was baffling to me, because I was watching this guy going, wow, this guy's great.
You know, from a show business perspective, what, which is, I can't help but look at it that way. The roll call vote, I was like, oh man, like who came up with this? I thought they were just going to say, you know, the great state of California cast, you know, so many votes for Obama, so many for Hillary Clinton. But then everyone had this frickin' rap, like the state of the junior midget league basketball champions of 1932. The state where the biggest ball of twine is located. You know, it's just like, wow. And I'm so happy that's why they, you know, they suspended the rules and accepted him by acclamation. It was well scripted because it was ready. I was ready, man. We're at M. Like, please shoot me.
Yeah, well, that's always been crappy.
Hey, do you think we're still at the bottom? Hey, Johnny Boy, you think it's all bottomed out yet? Or you think we're about to go into financial meltdown, as I'm predicting?
Well, it's like you and your $200 oil.
No, I've already come back from that and said that it's split, because what's happened is the plunge protection team jumped in. That's exactly why it's gone all haywire.
And that's why we're not going to have any more of a collapse than we've had.
Okay, just... So it's all up from here, John?
Feels like a bottom to me.
No, it looks like I'm just seeing the hole that is gaping wide.
You got to feel it with your butt.
Yeah. Well, my ass is...
It's like when you're driving a car and you hit the car bottoms out, you can tell. It's your, you know, boom.
No, it feels like a whole lot of nothing.
It's not what you're looking at. It's what you feel.
There's a whole lot of nothing still to come.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's these Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. Everyone's waiting for the government to say, okay... We'll just support them.
That's what they're going to do.
Yeah, and that's when it all falls apart.
No, you'll see. I mean, I still think the market could hit 10,000, but, you know, I got friends telling me, oh, it's going to hit 6, it's going to hit 5, you know, it's not possible.
And now the Fox was talking about, oh, this was another fantastic thing. Fox was talking about, they're showing pictures of Gustav, radar images. This is the hurricane, which is supposedly headed towards Louisiana again. So they're showing, this is what they were showing. They show the radar images. They talk about the enormous speed. And, then they say, well, you know, it's headed towards Louisiana. You can see it's right over Jamaica, right? So there's no one on the phone from Jamaica. There's no images. There's no nothing. And it's starting to hit Cuba. And there's no pictures of people packing up in New Orleans or any of that. No. You have oil platform workers on the phone, and underneath the screen it says, expect $5 gas, expect $5 gas. And all you hear is, yep, well, we're going to get out of here after we cap off everything, and, you know, this could be devastating for the, about 8 million percent of our oil comes from here in the United States, and, well, we're packing up, we're going, $5 gas, $5 gas.
It's amazing how... we're so dependent on oil from these. We're almost totally dependent from oil in the Middle East. Oh no, wait. We're almost totally dependent on oil
from these gas platforms.
Oh no, wait. We're almost totally dependent. You know, so where are we dependent on oil from? Most of the American oil comes from Canada.
So then I'm thinking, Sarah Palin's from Alaska. You think there's some oil up there, John?
Yeah, and she's big on sucking it all out of there. Because Alaskans, they get money from the government just because as a percentage of the oil booty.
Mm-hmm. There's no coincidence there, and she's a vilf. Yeah.
I wonder how many guys out there are like you.
Tons of them. Tons of them. And you know what? It's the beer-drinking, gun-toting, good old boys who are sitting around going, Damn! Woman, look at that! I know, because I'm a red-blooded American. I have some sophistication, and I have.
By the way,
I'm
suave. You used the term. You just used an interesting little usage, which I actually saved a bunch of the speeches. And Kucinich, by the way, is one of the worst. But even Obama said it. You know what? You just did it, and it's like my kids. You know, when you're 12, people say, "You know what? You know what? You know what?" And these Democrats, if you start listening to them speak, you're going to hear them say, "You know what? You know what?" Which is very condescending if you think about it. You know what?
You're right.
You know what? You don't know what? You know what?
Right.
You know what?
You are right, John. I have the intellect of a 12-year-old. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
The 12-year-old version is guess what?
Do you know what? Hey, John. Do you know what? The Silicon Valley thing is that really bugs the shit out of me.
Yeah.
It's when someone is pitching you an idea or particularly with a technology and they're explaining it to you. And then they end the sentence with, right? Please do not say no because right, because this is right, right? You know that, right? I don't have to question
it's
you.
It's a sales gimmick.
It's chief technology officers when they're just explaining their stuff. And it's like, the audiences love to have this stuff, right?
Right. No, that's just as bad.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying this, the Democrats use you know what
Good
to
point.
To
point.
Excess. I mean, I've never heard you use it before. You just happened to, you were probably listening to these damn speeches.
It's rubbing off on me.
No, seriously, that does happen. I mean, my kids, I usually call them on it when, like my daughter says, guess what? Mm-hmm. You know, she does it less and less because every time she does, I stop the conversation and go, am I supposed to guess?
Yeah.
And of course, then she is like, you know, she always says yes.
Yes, go ahead. Guess what I was going to say.
Of course, so the whole thing is like ruined by that. But the point is, I still interrupt.
There's another one.
Guess what?
Yeah. There's another one that that bugs me a lot, and we have it a lot in meetings. It's in all meetings, I guess, when people are conveying ideas. And it just, and I really, because I used to do it all the time too, and I just started to mess it up and use different phrases. When people say, I believe, it's all, I believe. No, I believe. Well, I believe. and because, I'm on a lot of these conference calls that we do at Mevio, I'm on the phone. So I'm not reading body, I'm just hearing what's going on in the room. And every single sentence starts with, I believe. And which usually, by the way, are meetings that are not going well. it's very unconstructive to have a whole bunch of people saying, I believe. It's just
the worst version of that. I mean, there's three versions of that particular stalling tactic usage. I believe is one of them. I think is another.
I think is another big one. Yeah.
And the third one, which I really don't like, but it comes from the political correct arena, usually from the sensitive people.
I feel. Yeah.
Well, I feel that blah blah blah. Well, I feel that blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And I, as opposed
so, so
to, I
as not, so as not to offend you, I'm going to soften it up and say, well, here's what I feel. Okay. So please don't trod on my opinion because it's my feelings.
Right. I think that's part of why that works so well with certain people. I find it extremely offensive when people keep saying I feel. It's like, I feel that we should move it over to the left, talking about a web page.
Yeah.
Do you feel that, or do you think it? Or do you believe it? You believe it, do you think it, or do you feel it? I mean, which is it?
Well, our speech has become so, living over in the United Kingdom has been such an eye-opener to me because the vocabulary is so much larger and even though the grammar sometimes is very weird to my American syntax, it's just beautiful to listen to people actually use words that just you don't hear used. Excuse me.
Yeah, for obvious reasons. So, we you know needed
what,
that
you know what happened? You know what happened yesterday?
Aliens came and revisited you.
Nah. My in-laws have been here all week, of course, for Christina's birthday. And so everyone's sick, and then and they're both 82. And
you got everybody sick.
Nah, but the old folks aren't. They're amazing. They have got so much energy. My father-in-law, he's so fantastic with his hands. He can play violin. He can play a saxophone. He can play any instrument. He can write entire orchestrations just from memory. But he can build things. He can repair cars. He can solder stuff. And the guy is just amazing. He built me a preamp, a portable preamp. And he's 82, but when he gets into the power tools, man, it's a little bit scary around here. Because you never know when all of a sudden he's like, it's like, holy shit. But anyway, so my mother-in-law, she's like, let's go get some stuff. We need some juice. And, she's a fireball of energy. Okay, so all right, let me just drink my tea here and we'll go off and we'll do some shopping. And so we go to there's a new Marks and Spencer's, which has opened up. It's a small Marks and Spencer's, which, is kind of the really high end, really prepackaged food, but they do have a lot of so-called fresh vegetables. It just looks pretty. It's expensive. It's premium. Not saying that it's healthy or anything like that, but they opened up a new one. It's convenient because it's at a gas station. So, great parking right in front of the door, run in, run out. So we go to pick some stuff up and I walk past the lettuce and John's sitting there with two baby Kos lettuce heads. You know what those are?
Yeah.
And I looked at it and immediately I had a flashback to our steakhouse dinner. Do you remember?
Yeah, right.
And so I had that fantastic, lettuce and right there, I got the lettuce. I saw some great, organic, homemade brand, whatever, Caesar dressing. I had the Dutch Gouda cheese, which my mother-in-law brought home with her. And I recreated that dish. And it was so good. Just wanted to let you know.
That's organic in a bottle.
But it's big for me. I'm never that interested in food.
Yeah. Yeah, good. I'm glad they had some fresh lettuce. I mean, the Brits can grow vegetables. I mean, if they got the right climate for that kind of thing.
I'll send you a picture. I took a picture of it.
Ah!
Seriously. I'm like, this is, it was just, and I was reliving that salad, that lettuce that I had with you in San Francisco.
Huh. You must have really liked that salad.
I did, but I was so drawn to it. It's like, I got to make that. I got to have that.
Well, now you know you can. So, yes. At least for 1 week out of the year when they actually have fresh lettuce at the one store nearby.
Yes.
I never think of Marks and Sparks as a high-end premium store personally.
Well, no, as I'm, again, what would be considered
to
be...
Fortnum and Mason, I'm thinking, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, okay, we don't, obviously, there's no... But Fortnum and Mason is, that's real food. Marks and Spencer is still, big, kind of big box, medium-sized box, high volume, expensively marketed, high-end for the typical consumer, not for someone who actually appreciates good food. And for that, I wouldn't even choose Fortnum and Mason. I'd probably, go to the farmer's market, quite honestly.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't go to Fortnum and Mason for my normal, I would go there for their, you talk about packaged foods, although they have some nice eggs there, not that I... Mm-hmm. They sell eggs
and fish.
I always thought was still marketable. They at Fortnum and Mason. If anyone here is traveling to London, you try to.
It's near Piccadilly Circus, is where it is.
And it's a nice store. It's just a really pretty place, anyway. But it's they have eggs that they sell that are generic eggs. I'm sorry, varietal eggs, not generic, but varietal eggs. They sell them in four packs, and you can buy you pick the egg. It's like a certain kind of bird,
and it actually looks like an egg.
It's a chicken, though, but it's like a chicken, but it's not the regular chicken. This is a such-and-such chicken's egg, and there's another chicken's egg. Now, since we have a bunch of chickens up in Washington, it actually makes a huge difference which chicken is laying these eggs, because every chicken has a certain, look to their egg, and the egg is slightly different in taste. Not a big difference. I mean, it's not like it's going to,
I think there's quite a variety. We had 50 or 60 chickens when we had the place in Belgium. And I think there's an enormous variety in taste. Really?
Okay, well, there's a big variety in taste. Yeah. But whatever the case is, they sell these varietal chicken eggs at Fortnum and Mason. So if you, when I don't go as much as I used to, but if I go to London, I usually stay in an apartment, and I would cook my own food there, because I always like to find a place that you could cook. Because I like to go buy all this local stuff and cook it up, and those eggs are one of the deals that I like.
Yeah. Fortnum and Mason, I believe, I think, I feel, is, are they not a queen appointed or something? Or they?
Yeah, it's got one. I think they,
like the queen, royal grocer?
Elizabeth II. Yes,
yeah, the royal, yeah, the grocer of royalty, something, whatever that's called.
Whatever, it's one of those little stamps of approval. That's what the British monarchy is. It's basically the good housekeeping of England.
I heard on the radio this morning on the BBC in the news, the economy the worst it's ever been in 60 years, and they expect over a million job losses.
That is do we have that at our news
for America or for England?
No, well, for England, it's been reported.
That's unreal. And they were reporting Lehman Brothers, which is part of the financial crisis, had lost, it was a really weird headline, which is why I liked it. They've lost, in the past 18 months, they've lost the equal amount of 36 years of profits or something like that. It's like, or like
good work, man.
Hey, right on, brothers.
Well, you guys are geniuses.
How's that real estate portfolio doing? Oh my goodness. All right, so I didn't meet just one. I've actually met a number of what you could consider to be extraterrestrials.
Okay, here we go, ladies and gentlemen.
Now,
let's start from the beginning. Start from the beginning.
Well, you know, obviously nothing. So I've thought about this, John, and I've thought about what I want to say about it, and there is a closure, or there will be a closure that can actually, you know, because what I believe is almost unimportant, and I'm certainly of the belief that the Earth is in change right now, whether it's man-made or built into the magic of the universe and the galaxy, and whether it was predicted by the Mayans, or whether, you know, it's UFOs are here to save us or kill us, or whether it's whatever you want to believe.
Hold on a second. Let me write down this part, because I'm outlining your talk here. First, I'm putting down one pre-sale. Okay, so you're doing the pre-sale right now.
I would call it background. Maybe it's pre-sale. All right. Are you going to turn this into a PowerPoint so I can go on the road?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. So, and I could actually go very deep into all of those different cultures and those
ideas. We don't really want to hear it.
We don't need that, right? Okay. And the reason why I'm interested in this, John, this is part of the pre-sale and part of the credibility, is I'm about to turn 44, and as the song says, is that all there is? So I'm not interested in that old, is that all there is? And for the next 40 years, I might as well pursue something more. All right? Yeah. Woo-hoo. Yeah, okay. Ridicule as you must.
I didn't say anything.
So what I was looking for was really two things. Three things. First thing, would I feel in the presence of any of these beings would I feel anything? Would I see anything? Would I feel anything? I was not expecting to tape a rod, you know, for a little spin in the disc or a little levitation or a little Stargate transportation. Let's zip through the wormhole and back. I was certainly not expecting that. Energy. Looking for some kind of energy, some kind of vibe. So definitely felt that. Would you believe me if I said, yeah, I saw little spheres of light circling this person's head, aura, body, whatever, you know? Yeah, I could get into all of that. But really, I only wanted to know, one, would I feel something? So yes, affirmative. Two, yes, the particular Pleiadians who I have come in contact with do indeed like strawberry ice cream.
All right.
Yes, I knew you were waiting for that one. And of course, the big one is, I said, I need some kind of proof. I need something that I can show, you know, if you guys are for real and this is all about, you know, sorry to say you're no, if this is all about you're here to help us and get through the transformation of the earth as things are falling apart, what the dark forces have put before us and we're coming and we're waking up out of our enslavement. Let me just finish this. It's all good. It's probably a three slider, this part. If it's really all true and that is the agenda, then you need to give me something concrete that will at least resonate or I can point back to. It still may not be enough proof, whatever it is, for anyone to say, yeah, okay, something's really going on here, but I need something. And for that, I have received a message from multiple sources. And that is October 14th and Alabama, which is unclear to me whether it's the state Alabama, whether it's Lynyrd Skynyrd's song Alabama, Kid Rock's version of Alabama, or Space Station Alabama. I don't know. But they will surface a vessel for 48 hours. And so we will be able to see
possibly
it.
In Alabama,
possibly in the state Alabama. I'm not quite sure how many Alabamas there are, I got no answer on that.
Well, that gives us something to look forward to.
and you know, and obviously for me it'll be a confirmation as well.
How did I do? Garland Farewell in Alabama, Sunday, October 14, 2007.
What's that? Les Garland? Judy Garland?
I don't know. It just says Garland Farewell. That was last year.
I don't think if you Google October 4th, this doesn't seem like a very significant date for anything.
Well, that's a bunch of crap. The Alabama chapter of the NENA Gulf Coast Conference took place last October 14th.
Yeah, but what's happening this year? What's happening this
Stillman
October
14th? Stillman Tigers versus Alabama A&M Bulldogs in October 14, 2006.
Would you please Google? I can't Google because of the bandwidth. Can you Google 2008 and see if anything good's going on?
Oh, okay. Hold on.
Try First Contact 2008 Alabama.
Alabama NENA again shows up. But they're going to have the same conference.
Okay.
Civil terms, Alabama firm. Well, this is March 14th. Alabama firm recalls poultry giblets. Oh, here we go. 14th October to alien ship appear over Alabama.
Really?
This has been digged.
Really?
This has been digged, by the way.
Oh.
October 14th.
Send me the link.
Probedeep.blogspot.com.
Huh.
Here it is. October 14th is the date claimed by Blossom Goodchild, where it is said that an alien spaceship, or it says a alien spaceship, GFL, Galactic Federation of Light spaceship, will appear over Alabama.
The state.
I guess.
There you go.
But we got to find out by getting a hold of Blossom Goodchild.
Send me the link.
Well, it's just those. Yeah, I will. Well, this is the dig. Wait, let me get the real link.
I just can't. I'm afraid if I fire.
Yeah, no,
the browser,
I understand what you're saying. It's going to break up. Here it is. This is in probedeep.blogspot.com.
Probedeep. I love it. I actually, there was a fourth thing. I said, hey, man, can you just give me a quick anal probe? I'm really jonesing for one.
Yeah, they do it up your nose, I think.
Really? Up okay. The nose? Is that true? That's funny because I saw. I saw a medical story about, that's interesting, they want to change the way they do vaccinations to doing it up the nose. That's interesting.
Well, they want to have a spray. Okay, here we go. Let me read you the story so you can be right up on this. And this was blogged on August 6th.
Mm.
So this date's floating around, so you may have been snookered by whatever this is going on around. It's been going around, apparently. October 14th, 2008 is the date claimed by Blossom Goodchild, where it is said that an alien spaceship, GFL, Galactic Federation of Light spaceship, will appear over Alabama for 3 days continuously.
Yeah.
I came across the news in one of the sites and could not believe whether it was true or a hoax. Huh. If it is true, this is the first time in the history that someone coming forward giving the exact date and saying UFO will appear, though it is said that the UFO appearance is for peace and to prove their existence and to give hope to to give hope have to see. It's very poorly written.
Hope
whether
have,
it is
hope have
untrue.
To see.
Hope have to see whether it is untrue. Something like Doomsday 2000. Anyway, see the below video for more information. There's a video there. Guys, don't forget to mark October 14th, 2008 on your calendars. This will be the big day in history and proves if UFOs are fake or not. And by the way, don't forget to leave a comment. There's five comments.
What are the comments?
Well, the comment number one, anonymous. Right, the first contact will be 14th October this year. It'll be a great day in history. And there's another video link.
Yeah.
And then anonymous comes back and says, I know Blossom Goodchild, the lady that channeled this message. She is a lovely woman who holds regular channeling nights and has written three books. This, by the way, is your new family. She has worked hard to build her credibility among her peers and would not put this information out unless she has truly believed it to be true. Trust me, it took much trust and faith. I should be doing this in this voice. And faith for her to publicly release the message. And even if they do not turn up, she would still have my support and love. Blessings, Meg.
See, I'm really disappointed because I was hoping you were going to Google that and you're going to come up with a whole bunch of people knowing this. You know, now I'm highly skeptical. I mean, if I'm the only one getting the message, that's not good PR. They could call Karl Rove. He could help them out.
He would. So one of the last, the rest of them are saying, you know, just nothing. And then this guy, Kevin Chappelle, says nobody finds it strange that 10/14/2008 equals 2012. I don't know where he's getting that. I guess he's 10. I don't know where.
How do you do that? There's a lot of that numerology. I crack up when I see that because it just, you know, well, if you multiply this divided by this one and you know, there's always a way to make the numbers work, I think.
Here's one guy, Kevin Chappelle. I got to read you the whole thing. Okay. I didn't read the whole thing. Now I just did.
All right.
Kevin Chappelle says, and I can't, it just you'll find there's some weird irony to this. Nobody finds it strange that 2014-2008 equals 2012. This is the year the Pleiadian home planet Nibiru is supposed to come very close to us and destroy everything.
We're all going to die.
I call BS.
We're all going to die.
So he says, I call BS.
I'm calling you out.
Thanks, Kev.
I'm calling you out, man.
I call BS. So anyway.
But anyway, it was a good meeting. And there's more people I want to meet. There's lots of interesting people.
Now, you didn't drink anything, right?
No. Like I did not drink anything, did not eat anything, did not smoke anything. No, as I promised.
How does that work?
I was also flying. It was a great flight, by the way, because I had to go all the way up to the north of the country. And it was just spectacular. I'd never been to that airport before. It's always kind of, you know, exciting because, you know, you just don't know the layout. You know, you have a virtual picture in your mind. You know, exciting. It's just, it was a fun flight. I really enjoyed it. It was all good.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad you had fun.
Yeah, well, John, I always have fun. All day. Every day. It's always groovy. Life is
okay. Groovy. I'm putting it on Google Calendar, and then we'll talk about it the day after when absolutely nothing comes of it.
What day is it, by the way? What day of the week?
What's a good question?
Wednesday?
I don't know. I don't have I can't get the calendar to come up. It's the trouble with this cloud crap. It is 14th. Is a Tuesday.
Tuesday.
It's weird. You think they'd come on the weekend or something?
Did you just Skype me something?
No, somebody Skyped me something.
Oh.
You have to.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Well, I'm glad you had. Well, anyway, to be honest about it, I thought that whole that discussion was a little anticlimactic.
Well, again, no, I think it's not anticlimactic because that all depends on whether something happens or not.
I mean, we know that.
But to go everything step by step, I don't want to go through the aggravation.
Of what? No, I don't want to hear the whole thing. I think we've heard enough.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't want to go through the aggravation. You know, the proof
will
be in the pudding.
At least we got the strawberry ice cream thing.
Strawberry ice cream was most important after that first contact. One thing I wanted to mention about that Marks and Spencer's, which was just kind of interesting to me.
By the way, can I say one more thing before you go into that?
Yeah.
If these guys are roaming all over the place telling their story, isn't that already first contact? What is first contact supposed to mean then?
It's like a UFO thing, kind of a Jodie Foster contact. Yeah, it's like the first big thing that'll really make everyone go, "Ooh boy, it's for real." Yeah, but it's totally from earthly reality. You know, it's not like the extraterrestrials are saying, "Yeah, we'll call it first contact." You know.
All right. Enough.
Yes, thank you.
Marks and Sparks.
So this brand new Marks and Sparks, I'm standing there to, and it's very efficient because I know we live nearby, so I know what it, you know, the previous place was a dump. It was kind of a convenience store. And so they sell gas there as well, and I'm paying for the groceries, and I look up, and there's something called BP Oil Sentry, I think is what it's called. And essentially it's a monitor, and it switches between three different cameras, which I guess someone configured it incorrectly. So camera one was null one, camera two was null two, camera three was null three. Mm. And it was scanning the license plates, and they actually showed up in digital form one under another. So you had a list of like 10 license plate numbers on the right-hand side of the screen, and then the actual shot of whatever camera was on, and you could see it, you know, it would switch and would go, and it would register the license plate. It was, you know, it was license plate recognition, which is nothing new, but to see that at the gas station, I was like, and I said to the guy, what do you guys do with that information? We keep it. So, well, would you give it to someone if they asked for it? Yeah. I just found it to be another nice little piece of the...
It's a totalitarian puzzle, yeah.
Yeah, the Gitmo Nation puzzle is indeed it. It's just like, wow, if that's at the gas station, you know, what are the things on the highway? They must be doing face recognition by now. They must actually be, you know, just beaming right in and looking into my wallet.
That's next.
Yeah, what kind of technology those guys have? Did you see that article, by the way, on the plunge protection team? Did I send you that?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure you had seen it.
So there's a, going back to this thing with the cameras looking at everybody in England. So there's been a whole bunch of articles, a lot of them coming from England. I think I blogged one of them about how the British tourists are now the most feared in all of Europe because they go over to wherever they go and they go crazy.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
The thinking is that they get away from their, you know, abhorrent totalitarian Nazi fascist regime.
Yes.
And they kick up their heels.
Yes, this is particularly in Greece. And I believe this story, actually the story was on television here several weeks ago, and I saw it pop up, and maybe it was the New York Times, I think, wrote about it.
Maybe.
I talked about it on the Daily
The New York Times. Yeah. That's where it came
from. I talked about it on the Daily Source Code as well. Because I was amazed that they literally took this story that I'd seen on television, but it was just weeks later. It was the same story because, you know, the mayor of this town is saying, well, you know, they come here and it's important for our trade, but basically, I think the quote was, all they do is vomit, cross-dress, and cause fights. And my take on that is exactly what you said. That's what it says. That's what the article says. They cross-dress, they vomit, and they fight. And... But it's true. The Brits, when they go out, the guys very often dress up. You know, they put actual balloons underneath a bra. It's nuts. It's nutty behavior. Nutters, I tell you. It's complete nutty behavior. But it is what they do here because they're slaves. You get stopped. There are dogs sniffing at the tube entrances. Any male in Britain, certainly if you're not white, but talk to Chris Lydon at our UK office. He gets searched 3-4 times a week, you know, just walking on the street, and you can't take pictures, you can't protest. The energy prices just were hiked up by, you know, they report 23%, but it's much closer to 40%. There's a humongous crisis, and what the Brits do, that's, you know, they stab each other and drink, or maybe they drink and then stab each other. But the drink is really where they drown themselves, just completely obliterate all feeling, to desensitize themselves from the atrocity that's taking place around them. It's severely, severely suppressed here. Does that paint the picture?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
So what's the eventual outcome of it, you think?
Well, this is what's interesting, because I do talk to a lot of Brits about it, and if you talk to them for more than 5 minutes, they'll actually say, yeah, you are right, because it's so cultural, and it's not that they get drunk, they go out to get drunk. It is the mission. It is not a something that just happens because oops, I had too much to drink. No, they go out to get drunk. It is a cultural phenomenon. And when I say, well, aren't you kind of like desensitizing yourself, or, we were very different when we were thin, white, and stood up to the government. That all happened before Margaret Thatcher totally broke their backs. She busted up the unions, killed the coal miners, not literally, and some might argue literally, and just broke the spirit of this country. They still have their humor, and they're still hard workers, and I love the people here, but they are broken. It is a broken spirit, the spirit of this country. They do not stand up for what they used to. You know what I'm talking about. We've seen the thin white English blokes, the Blitzkrieg. They lived through the Germans bombed this whole place to shit. And they stood up and they said, well, fuck you, Jerry. We're going to get you. And that's gone.
How does one person, Thatcher, who seems to be demonized, she's not the only person. I mean, the more recent things with all the cameras and stuff has got nothing to do with her.
No, but that was the beginning. That's when she broke the protesting nature of the Brits. She just broke it, and it was, John, go back and look at the news stories. The police kick people's fucking ass. Talk about your Gitmo Nation. That was serious business. Those riots were no joke. And, and now it's like, they got dogs, they got cameras, it's, No one's, everyone's afraid to talk.
Well, we do it differently. We have our free speech zones that nobody cares about. Right. And then we always make sure that when we have protests, we let the protests go, but we only let the most nutty people protest now. So when, like, for example, they had this, Recreate 68 or whatever it was, and they go and visit these people.
Yeah, we put the nutty people on television. No, you're wrong. What we do is we televise exactly what the message is. And part of that message is, look at these crackpot protesters. Yeah, they're the guys that showed up. That's what we do.
Exactly. That's
what
I'm saying.
That is the system. Yeah.
Well, it
works. The system. That's how it works. And by the way, that is exactly what they do. Who runs the media culture here? Who runs it? I don't have to tell you. It's fucking Murdoch. He owns The Sun and the News of the World. He owns Sky. He owns every single piece of the
big mass media.
Well,
don't forget, he owns
media.
The London Times.
Thank you. The London Times. He owns it. He owns the message. And people hear this and go, it's a horrible, horrible situation here. And this is such a culture of newspapers. It's so important. You know, and I look at the brainwashing. My 82-year-old aged in-laws, love them. And by the way, the old man who lived through the obliteration of Rotterdam, he's very keyed into the stuff you and I talk about. He totally gets the evilness. He sees it. He saw a lot of it unfold, and he's been hungry. So he has a deep knowledge of things that I that never had the experiences of. But the two of them, all they can talk about for 4 days now straight is the top of the news, which is some millionaire's mansion burned down and a whole bunch of expensive cars were in it and the dogs were shot to death or something like that. It's the top of the news and they're completely brainwashed. That's all they can talk about. It even surpasses the U.S. elections. It surpasses Georgia. It's everything. It's just unbelievable. It is so skillfully, this programming it works. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, I think it's long been in play here.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But it's, with a brain-dead coverage of, Britney Spears.
Sure.
And all the rest of it. But now we have Obama, who's a Britney Spears, type of person.
Phenomenon.
He's perfect.
Phenomenon.
He's perfect.
Phenomenon. He's a phenomenon.
It's a phenomenon. So that's perfect. And so that actually, you know, plays right into it. I'm still, you know, still not taking bets on him yet.
Hey, check out sosgeorgia.com. There was a full page ad. I'm sorry, .org, not .com. .org. sosgeorgia.org. There was a full page ad in the Financial Times. I don't know what that costs, but that can't be cheap. And it was really, I threw it out. I think it said Stalin, Lenin, Georgia, what next or something. It was a huge page. And this was the link on it. And I'm like, oh, so I wonder who did this. And I do About Us. And then I get, welcome, my name is Mark Reinhagen. It's like, there's nothing about us. Who's paying for this? Who is this group?
This is really slick.
Thank you. But who is it?
Well, it's obviously some agency. They overdid the slickness. Too much slickness here. I mean, this is like way over the top in terms of like too slick. And then there's that EU flag again, like they're in the EU.
Dude, listen to this from Wikipedia. Mark Reinhagen, often written Reinhagen, is a role-playing card, video, and board game designer, best known as the creator of Vampire the Masquerade and its associated World of Darkness games.
Yeah, wow. I don't think it's the same guy. I think it's a coincidence. Coincidence.
Really?
Yeah, no, this is done. This is not only that, but they're using the classic red, white, and black kind of design, which is proven to have a certain impact. And
yeah, but I just like to know. So yeah, supported by so IT.
Well, let's
group.
Go do. Well, the thing to do, obviously, is to do a who is and see who the hell owns this damn site.
Okay.
Who is server?
Who is sosgeorgia.org?
Server, which is the best who is server. Start with the internet and go backwards.
Interesting.
Sosgeorgia.org.
I got nothing. How did that happen?
Well, that's around.
No, I mean, I literally got nothing back. That's weird. What do you get?
Huh.
I love it when you do that. Huh.
I got nothing, but let me try it again.
I told you. I just told you I got nothing. That's the weirdest thing. I did a command line who is, even, which is supposed to be the bomb diggity.
Well, somebody out there can dig it up for us, and we'll talk about it next week. Oh, here we go. I got it. Something popped. They're not saying who the registrar is.
Okay, hold on. What do I have here? No, they don't.
Oh, wait. No, here's the problem. It's the .org, and now they're only the internet's not doing .org anymore. They're only doing .com, .net, .edu. That's an interesting little trick.
Huh.
When did that happen?
So I should be able to do it on Ripe, though.
Maybe.
Let me try. No. No entries found in selected sources.
New registry. This is a new registry. Who is server for .org? When did that happen? It's in the ICANN watch.
Where's my memo?
Yeah, where's my memo? I'm a .org.
That's interesting.
Oh, it's been moved to the public interest registry.
Well, here's another one I can do. This is always fun.
.org. Here we go. I got it.
Trace route takes me to ntt.net. In Dallas, Texas. Okay, data center in Dallas. You serve it. What did that just hit? Hold on.
This is interesting. So I go to the .org search engine for .orgs only, and it won't give me anything. I must.
Woo!
SOSGeorgia.org.
Okay, so they're hosted at Dallas-datacenter.com.
That's probably just a place where there's a server.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. But then it resolves further to usnis.server.ie. I guess that's Italy. Huh.
Is it IT or IE? IE is Ireland.
Maybe it's LT. LT. What's LT?
No, LT is like Lithuania or something. Italy is IT.
Yeah, it hits a Lithuanian server before it goes to sosgeorgia.org. But
I think
that's kind of weird that we can't look up.
Well, they changed this thing around quite a bit.
Yeah, sure. Likely story.
So Lithuania, what was the connection there? Well, I mean, that just could be just routed all over tarnation.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe
well, I'm
is.
Sure. You know what? If we sat here another 10 minutes,
we're
not going to do.
No, but
we find out who's. But somebody out there will know, and they'll let us know anyway.
Well, anyway, in this about us, it says, where was it? Note, we are constantly under attack by Russian denial of service attacks, likely Kremlin ordered. And you may, and you may have trouble sometimes accessing us. All we can ask is that you try again in a few minutes. We are working hard at counteracting these attacks, but we do not have the resources they do. No, you spent it on the fucking full page ad in the Financial Times. Hopefully we will resolve these issues soon. And why that audience? Why the Financial Times? And who is this Mark Reinhagen?
Well, the whole thing seems to be some sort of a something aimed at obviously this is all aimed at some people that which we are not part of.
No.
Some investment community or something. I mean, what would you do the Financial Times for? And that's expensive, by the way.
Yeah, it's
that's
gotta
not a cheap
be.
Ad.
It's got to be.
That's probably like a $50,000 ad or
that's
something
what I'm
like
saying.
That. Maybe.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, this site is under massive denial of service attack from Russian hackers. They've got a scroll. Our own security experts are doing everything they can to counteract these constant attacks. We are not always able to keep the site up. If you have trouble loading SOS Georgia, please try again in a few minutes under pictures of burning buildings. Please don't let them shut us up. Free speech means freedom of access to the web. If you can help, please write us. And they've got pictures of tanks and burning buildings. All right. Well, we don't know yet, but you're right. Someone out there is going to figure it out. It's way too slick.
Too slick.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone will get it for us. Hopefully.
There's what was the TBR News, I think, is the site. Hold on, TBR.
I'm looking at RobTex right now, which shows all their servers.
RobTex?
Yeah, it's hard to tell you what this site what RobTex does, but they do a lot of SOS Georgia domain control by four name servers at Severa, can't pronounce it,
SEVRV.LT.
Yeah, some are in the same IP network, blah blah blah. It's just it just breaks down websites.
Yeah.
Oh, here's some other ones. The war in Georgia.com is another one which uses the mail server. And at least 100 other hosts share the name servers with this domain. The warinGeorgia.com, blah, blah, blah. This is obviously something done by intelligence.
What was the
warinGeorgia.com. You should be able to get that through internet.
What was the other one, though? The data centers. The war in Georgia.
Oh, there's your name servers. It doesn't necessarily.
No. I understand how name servers work. You know, the name of the hosting company.
They don't have it.
The war in Georgia is registered at GoDaddy, of course.
Yeah, but to who? Go to GoDaddy and see who owns it.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. It's just. Interesting. And they're using those same name servers. Okay. Whatever.
Anyway, somebody will look it up for us. Somebody that has, you know, more interest than we do.
Yeah.
We just know it looks kind of hokey. Or not hokey, it looks too
meanwhile,
slick.
Meanwhile, there's no armada in the Black Sea. No ships here. Keep on sailing.
This little site, RobTex, also has a little map, which is kind of interesting.
That's cool. Right. You got anything else, John? Because I don't want to just get stuck on...
No, I don't know. Yeah, we get stuck going here doing searches while we're talking to a show.
I know.
And you know, hey, I just saw something now. So and that's the problem with the net. I mean, in fact, we do this when we do the Twitch show, too. It's like, you know, everyone gets on the computer, and next thing we know, we're like sharing...
You're not talking, yeah.
Stop talking.
It was. I liked the last Twitch show. It was pretty good.
Was it?
Yeah, it was okay. You know, I think you were right about calling Kevin Rose out about, yeah, dude, you always do this. You always tease shit and never give us anything.
No, so, he does.
Well, yeah, but at least he gave something out.
I know he doesn't mean to.
No, I understand.
But he's just constantly doing it.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll, you know, think about it in the future.
Make sure you
I did talk him into exposing one of his details. Did you notice that?
Which one was that? I probably did.
I forgot. Something about what he believes something's going to happen. He didn't want to be embarrassed if it didn't, you know, anybody cares. Yeah. Anyway, it looks like the warrengeorgia.com is the real key for people out there who want to research these guys. Anyway, no, that's about it. There's some news, you know, this is going to be the Republicans are going to have their crummy convention this week, which will probably be dull. You're going to Minnesota. Are you still going?
No.
What happened?
I still plan on going, but I won't be doing the emceeing. So here's what happened. So
you got bumped?
No, well, not entirely. It was miscommunication on my part. You know, so I'd already said, yes, I'm coming. You got it. I said that to their main guy, Don Rasmussen. And then he said, well, I'll have someone call about flights. And I'd kind of already arranged my own stuff. I'm like, you know, I'll take care of that. I don't need anything from them. You know, they can keep their money in their pocket. And so Shelley had called me, and I thought, oh, yeah, I'll call her back after I get back. She was Wednesday or Thursday when I was in San Francisco. So I'll call her back on Monday and, you know, just tell her everything's all arranged. And so, yeah, I was on San Francisco time, so I kind of, you know, forgot about it until I got back. And then, you know, all of a sudden it's like they had this, some Democratic governor or whatever, and you know, well, we couldn't reach you, and it's like, okay, whatever, no worries. I'd still like a backstage pass. So
it was gonna have some Democratic governor do the emceeing. Don't they? Haven't they watched the Obama show and had a clue they need some showbiz people out front?
Yeah, well, it's okay. It's not about me or about, you know, me speaking. It's
That's what Obama says. He said, Rush Limbaugh did a thing on this. They dissected his speech, mm-hmm. and they had him saying, I. And it was like, there must have been 1,000 instances where he says, I do this, I do that, and this. And then at the very end, there's two jokes in his speech. One of them, at the very end, after all this, I, was, but it's not about me, it's about you, was a classic, which is very funny. But the funnier one was another one the right-wingers jumped on, which was Obama throwing the line out, I am my brother's keeper. And so then they cut to pictures of his brother in Kenya living in the mud hut.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, right. You have to give him a nickel.
Dude, no, I'm telling you, that family there in Kenya, you're wrong about that. There's some powerful mojo going on there. Don't let the mud hut throw you off. He does come from power in Kenya. There's something going on. It needs to be investigated. It does. Alitalia went into Chapter 11. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
When was this?
Yesterday. This is big because there was no Chapter 11 equivalency in Italy. And so after they already pumped 400 million euros into trying to save this thing, they changed the actual bankruptcy law for Alitalia to go into this, you know, new form of, I guess we'd call it receivership almost.
Right.
So they have bankruptcy protection, which heretofore did not exist in Italy. So they just changed the law just to make it easy. And, but no one wants to buy it. You know, everyone wants a piece. And so literally from what I understand, part of the way it's supposed to work is they're going to shed off all of the bad bits, which is, let's see, everything, and literally dump that, and they're going to restart with a new Alitalia, which will be pretty much nothing more than the brand and whatever employees they decide to keep. And that is what KLM is interested in investing in, but they don't want the whole thing. And who else? Let me see. Maybe I can find it here. I know KLM, Air France KLM, I should say. KLM isn't, it's really Air France. Who else was interested? Maybe it was American or? No, the only one mentioned in the Financial Times today is Air France KLM. So that's a huge deal because they do all the flights in Italy. I mean, everything.
Right, which is the way, you know, that system is obviously falling apart.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty big.
Yeah, what's interesting is they get the money grab of the $400 million. All the executives get paid.
Everyone got bonuses.
And then they fold the whole thing, and then they go off and do their own thing someplace else, but they don't have to worry about working again.
You know, they have the military on the streets now in Italy. You know that, right?
No.
You're kidding me.
Really?
Yeah, they've got in Rome.
They haven't reported. I don't see that reported here.
Yeah, no. Berlusconi ordered the military. I mean, I think this is all still part of the gypsies they want to get rid of. They burn the gypsies' houses, and these are illegal immigrants. And so, yeah, there's thousands of troops on the streets of Rome, Milan, Venice, even. And, you know, maybe only 2,000 or 3,000 per city, but still.
Just to get rid of gypsies?
Yeah, just to make everyone feel good. You could Google it. I mean, this happened a couple weeks ago. It's been going on for weeks.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're kept in the dark here.
Well, this is after Berlusconi also changed the rules so that, to make the courts more efficient, exactly. They're not going to investigate fraud cases that date prior
against
to...
Against him.
No, that date prior to, like, 2003 or whatever it was, which was...
Whenever it was that he created,
exactly,
right.
Whenever he may have allegedly committed some crime.
Hmm. Interesting.
To hell in a handbasket, I tell you.
Yep. And that's what we talk about on this show.
That's right. Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
We don't know anything about nothing, damn it.
And right. All right, don't care.
So I guess you're right. It's going to be it probably won't be as good a show. Who could be a great speaker at the Republican convention?
They got nothing.
Really? You should look at this drop.io/noagenda, John, that I set up. I hope you are checking that out from time to time.
I look at it once in a while.
Okay. Because, you know, a lot of things we talk about here, the research is done on it. For instance, my pulse energy weapon concept.
Oh, you know, everybody's just, you know, you're pushing your luck with this stuff. What's the name of the, what is it, drop? What is it again?
drop.io/noagenda. And it's cool because you people out there listening, you can upload stuff, you can do research, you can drop files, you can call in voicemail, you can subscribe to it. It includes enclosures so that if there's an audio file, it'll drop into your aggregator or your iTunes or whatever. It's cool. These guys are awesome. I love what they're doing. We're going to run out of space on this one pretty quick, though.
Yeah, I do a No Agenda 2.
Why?
Well, you said we're running out of space.
No, I'll ask them. They'll give us an upgrade. I just got to contact them. They're still in alpha or whatever, or beta. I don't know.
Yeah, here's the one that Britain's too unruly. It's in here.
Yeah, sure it is.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll go over and see if I can use anything in the blog.
Yeah, check out. What is that? You got a phone call?
No, that's a train. There's some train that comes by every day around this time. He's not really that close to me, but this idiot.
Always toots.
There's no crossing within like a mile either direction where you're hearing that horn honk. And the guy comes through because there's a bunch of residences down there. I'm at the top of a hill and I can see down there. And I think he just does it as a joke.
No, John, what it is don't you remember when you were a kid, you used to drive by the radio station, honk really loud, see if they could hear it on air? This is what the guy's doing. He's like, hey, man, I'm going to honk.
We'll be on no agenda. Still do that.
We had at the back in the day, this is, just reminds me, we were working at the very early NOS studios. This is 1983, and it was almost like a Russian setup, you know, state run. Everything was gray. All the cabinets were gray, big black Bakelite knobs for everything. And for echo reverb, there was no digital equipment at the time. They actually had a room, a plate room, filled with these huge plates that you could manipulate, and they could jack into different plates to give different types of echoes and reverbs. And when the mic cracked on the evangelical show, which was opposite to ours on a different frequency, we would put on a record, and we go, because it's located right near the men's bathroom. And when their mic cracked, then we'd start stomping around and yelling and banging on the door, and you could really hear it on air because it would come through the reverb on the microphones. Ah, the good old days.
Yeah, well, Them good old days. Yeah, we don't have... Actually, I remember when the reverb boxes first came out, pre-digital. Those things are actually...
little coil?
Yeah, those things are actually collectible.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
I guess that's it for us.
Okay, hold on. Then in that case...
No pistachios.
Here we go. Here it comes. Wait, how come it's not, what's not happening here? Ah, shit. There we go. Ah. That really tells you it's time to wrap things up. All right, John, what are you doing this week besides watching the convention?
Probably going to work on some website stuff and try to get some writing done that needs to be finished.
Mm-hmm.
And before the election, and probably not much else. It's just, nothing.
Just another September day just in Silicon
trying
Valley.
To clean the house, you know, kind of thing.
All right, well, I'm sticking around here. Unless I decide Monday to go to Minneapolis.
All right.
But honestly, I'm tired. Okay. Twit, you doing it?
I don't know. I think so.
Okay. That's good, because I like that for my Monday walk. It's a big deal.
Mm.
If you're
so
on.
Listen to this show once in a while.
Please. All right, everybody. That's it for this week. Coming to you from Gitmo East, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Gitmo Nation West, I'm John C. Yes. I'm John C. Dvorak, also in Silicon Valley North, which is a place that really doesn't exist. Don't ask a cab driver. I'm John C. Dvorak up here. It's as the sun's coming out.
And we'll see you next week right here on No Agenda.